Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome to the Bill Michaels Show on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. Easy to find us. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com. And for those of you that are listening, and maybe you don't take us with you everywhere you go, maybe you can go to the Radio.com app. You can track us down there. Keep that in the back of your mind. Put the Radio.com app on your phone or any mobile device that you may have. And you always have us at your fingertips. You can find us on Twitter @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @Radio Joe Sports. There's BillMichaelsSports.com. There's plenty of ways to track us down over on the Facebook fan page. For those that were asking about the weekend, had a great time this weekend. You can see a lot of the pictures by simply going to Facebook.com, find Bill Michaels or The Bill Michaels Show with the blue check mark, blue verified check mark, and you can see us there as well. It's that simple. Today, it was a landmark decision. In case you didn't know and you're just tuning in and maybe you haven't really paid a lot of attention to this, the Supreme Court today struck down a federal law that prohibits sports gambling. Now, it's a landmark decision that gives states the go-ahead to legalize betting on sports. The court today ruled 6-3 to strike down the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, the PASPA, which was a 1992 law, by the way, that barred state-authorized sports gambling. The exception was Nevada, okay, the only state where a person could wager on the results of a single game. States that wanted to offer legal sports betting may now go ahead and do so, and New Jersey plans to be the first. They were the ones that were opposing this, and they got their way. Delaware, Mississippi, New York, Pennsylvania, West Virginia are among the states expected to quickly get into legalized bookmaking when it comes to, and bookmaking brings a derogatory term almost to gambling, but that's basically what it is. The court ruled in favor of New Jersey and against the NCAA, NFL, NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball, which capped a nearly six-year legal battle and overturned the federal statute that sports leagues had adamantly stood by for more than 20 years. Congress can regulate sports gambling directly, but if it elects not to do so, each state is free to act on its own. That's what the court wrote in the opinion. Our job is to interpret the law Congress has enacted and decided whether it is consistent with the Constitution. PAPSA is not consistent with the Constitution. And the leagues first sued former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie back in 2012, they won every step of the way until last June when the Supreme Court decided to take the case on. Oral arguments were heard back on December 4th, and the justices ruled 5 months later. Christie tweeted after the ruling saying, "It's a great day for the rights of states and their people to make their own decisions." And New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy also cheered the ruling, saying that he was thrilled to see the high court strike down the arbitrary ban, which basically means this. Basically means this, that states, if they choose to do so, can implement sports gambling. It's that simple. So what you used to have to go to Vegas for now can happen in your own backyard. So if they want to open it up eventually, and I would assume that many of these horse race tracks and casinos and such throughout the country are probably already have blueprints in place to build these gambling areas, these sports books. They probably have them already in place. You don't have to go to Bally's in Vegas anymore to do it. You can probably just do it right here at Pottawatomie. They're probably going to build another wing on to Pottawatomie that's just going to handle sports books. I mean, New Jersey alone said that the cash output to just to the state will be about $8 billion in revenue. $8 billion in revenue. So here's the question. Here's the question. Here it comes. Is it a good thing? Is it a good thing? I mean, if you're against gambling, you're going to say no. Vegas built a whole city upon it. Continues to get bigger, better. You know, Vegas is a prospering area. Housing, development, job market, you name it. It's all come along with gambling, okay? Are there people that are going to need Gambling Anonymous? Yes. No doubt. You get a little bit of the buzz, get a little bit of the high, overextend yourself, not good. But like anything, whether it's too much chocolate, you can overeat and become obese and eventually die from heart disease, or smoking or drinking in some type of an addictive state, which can be chemical versus just mental. But then again, they talk about the amount of dopamine and endorphins that are released when you get a high from gambling. That can become problematic. Yes, that is the downside. The upside, the benefit to the state, the benefit of jobs, the benefit of the ability to then do additional marketing, which then grows each sport, which grows each job, which, you know, I mean, there's a trickle-down effect on both sides. So your thoughts. Your thoughts. As the Supreme Court said today, states, do what you want to do. The government is out of your way. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. What do you think? This one's from Mark. Mark writes, I think it's great. I think there's going to be a trickle-down effect of jobs. He talks about money for other services, which we mentioned a little bit earlier. He's got a whole litany of things that are good about all of this. He said, I heard you talking about streets and police and fire and teachers. I'm glad you think that way. Those are the ones that protect us and set us up for the years of tomorrow. We need to make sure that they are paid in full. And I've said that all along. Look, the firefighters, police, military personnel, teachers, those are the people that are the most underpaid, underappreciated, and take more crap than anybody's ever wanted in their life, but yet we want to hold them to a higher standard than ourselves. And they are woefully underpaid. Have been for a long, long time. Let's go to Tim in Fredonia. Tim, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Billy, good afternoon, young man.
What's up?
You know, Bill, I don't know if it's really good or bad. Okay, number one, Bill, the degenerates are always going to find a way to gamble. They're going to, you know, I think what it is going to do is going to allow guys like me who don't have a guy on the side, you know, a guy to place bets with on the side. You know, if I'm down at Pottle playing poker and, hey, you know what, the Packers are favored by 5.5. Okay, I can throw 25 on the Packers, get my ticket, Bill, and go from there instead of calling somebody. What it will do is going to put Guido, maybe Guido's action is going to be a little bit lighter because now the degenerate doesn't have to call Guido. He can just run down to Pottle because the degenerate's probably down at Pottle anyway. He can go upstairs or wherever it is, grab his, you know, bet his 500 or his K on the Bears or on the Packers, get his ticket, and go that way. So that's what I think it will do. I think the illegal aspect of it, Bill, will probably drop, but I don't think the action will drop. I think the action will probably go up because people won't be afraid to do it anymore. It's just my opinion, and we'll see what you got to say. Thanks,
buddy. All right, appreciate it, man. Thanks. He drops off. You get on board, 855-830-8648. On the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. I think the only way this works is if it, you know, as far as the legal side of things is you're going to see different sports books lose some of their liners. And by that, I mean some of the people that set the lines because they're going to work for the government now in some way, shape, or form. You're going to see some of these sports books bring these guys in. You're going to pay more attention in that realm. It's got to be better action than what your bookie on the corner is giving you. And now you're going to see the government take a piece of this. I've never been a big gambler. Never have been. Just haven't. There's been a couple times that I'll go bet a little bit of money, $20, $50, but nothing crazy, you know, because I always look at it this way. I haven't been that lucky when it comes to gambling, to be honest with you. I think I've hit the lottery once for $500 in my entire life. And I was one of those people that played it religiously, like $5 every Wednesday and every Saturday, to the point where I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not throwing away, you know, that much money a month anymore. You know, $80 a month, that's a small payment for something. So I stopped doing it a long time ago. And I know the old adage is you can't win if you don't play. So every now and then I'll just say, maybe I'll take a shot today, see what happens. But when it comes to the gambling of the sports books and casinos and such, I don't know. It never got me. Every now and then, you know, I'd play the pick 'em pool or something like that, or I'd play a little fantasy with a buddy of mine. We have a team for a little bit higher stakes. We've been pretty good at it over the years. But beyond that, you know, I'm not one of these people that bets the outcomes and bets the lines. I just never have been. You know, I mean, I do it for fun on the program just to kind of go along with what I'm saying, some of the things that I believe in. So in that essence, I put my reputation where my mouth is more so than my actual money. But to some people, man, that's their life. You're always going to get something. You're going to get that big play. It's always going to get you ahead and make you rich. And then what you're going to do is try to do it again. So, you know, I guess the story of a guy like Pete Rose is probably more frequent than a guy that went into Vegas and hit it big on the sports books 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And now he's a retired multimillionaire living in some big estate somewhere. But I think if responsible people do it and enjoy it, so be it. It's like drinking. It's like anything else. Be responsible. Don't get crazy. Dave in Cross Plains. Dave, how you doing today? What's going on, man?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah. Initially, I think it's going to be just a mass explosion of the market, and there's going to be online betting everywhere. But then with, like, any industry, there's going to be one or two players that get left in the whole game, and it's mostly due to net neutrality. And I was wondering what your thoughts were about that, so I'll take my answers off the air. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it. Appreciate it. The whole net neutrality thing, I have not even begun to wrap my head around. So eventually, I guess what he's saying is it's going to fall under one regulation. Somebody's going to get rich. And you know what? The government's got their hand in it. It's like, you know, it's like anything else. It'll get regulated to death. There'll be things you can and can't do. There's always going to be loopholes. There's always going to be guys that are going to test the limits. But the bottom line is this. If you are one of those people that love to go to Bally Sportsbook, I look at it this way, Joe. You and I could end up sitting at Pottawatomie in a sportsbook for the opening 2 days of the NCAA tournament doing a show and having all the action, all the excitement, all the betting, all the fun, all the NCAA March Madness stuff going on around us. You know what I mean?
Why are we limiting this to just casinos in the state? Who says this can't happen at Miller Park where you you walk up to a gate at Miller Park and that's where you go to place your bet?
Yep.
On the Brewers?
I mean, that's what Adam Silver wants at NBA arenas, that you can actually walk in and then place your bet on a kiosk. And the government gets their cut, and the NBA gets their cut.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant for everybody, and this really should have been taken care of a while ago.
So
I have no problem with any of this at all.
No,
it's people's money. If you want to gamble, gamble.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you otherwise.
Yep.
It's your money.
No, I completely agree. Completely agree. I mean, that's where we're going. It's not just going to be sports books, but it does open up the possibility for doing stuff like that in the state, making it a whole experience and trying to own the sports market. Now, I wonder where they're going to stop. I wonder if you can, like some of the gaming machines that they have in bars, where you go in, everybody sees it, where you play the bars and the bells. Okay, everybody's got one of those in one of their restaurants or so. I wonder, like, say, great sports bars. You know what I mean? If you can go into your local sports bar and you got the bars and the bells, and then right next to it, you have the kiosk that you can just swipe your credit card and say, I'm going to bet $20 on such and such, and then the sports bars capitalize on that. You know, I just wonder if you're going to be able to do that, or if it's just going to be an online thing, or if, you know, I just see so much. We'll just see how it explodes. Over the next 6 months to a year, you're going to see this really begin to gain popularity in many different facets.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you can go into bars in Las Vegas, even off the strip, and they've got video poker machines.
Yes.
They've got.
There's a breakfast place that I go to out in Waukesha, and they've got the bars and the bells machines that people just constantly put money in. You just sit there and play and, you know, kill time or whatever. Can you imagine, say, we're out for a night at Stenny's, the Brewers are coming up, taking on the Rockies, or like tonight, taking on the Diamondbacks. You know, the Diamondbacks are a run and a half favorite. You know, you can sit right there at Stenny's, over to your wings, go swipe your credit card, put 20 down on the Brewers to cover. And then go back and watch the game and eat your wings. That's a banner evening right there. I don't care who you are. Wash it down with a couple of adult beverages. Good freaking night out. 855-830-8648. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show is on the air. I am Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. Mike Clemens in the house. Cast of Thousands here. Always good. Good Monday to you. This portion of this program is brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Guess what? Everybody, you know what everybody looks forward to in this state? And really, I don't want to just say beyond the borders to be cliche, but it's true. When Summerfest is right around the corner, everybody knows, okay, now summer's here. Summer's here. That's the big gig. Well, if you'd like to be a VIP at the big gig, here's your chance. Enter to win the big gig giveaway from our friends at Cousin Subs and Summerfest. 11 concerts in 11 nights, all at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater during Summerfest. It means 11 chances to win. Each VIP concert package includes a couple of tickets, parking pass, gift cards, and a whole lot more. 11 people are going to win this one-of-a-kind experience, and you could be one of them. Enter daily at CousinSubs.com/BigGigGiveaway. CousinSubs.com/BigGigGiveaway to experience your best Summerfest ever. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And I'm glad they're on board. Good stuff. You know what? It might be a Cousin Subs kind of night, as a matter of fact. A little tired from traveling and driving back yesterday. Might be a Cousin Subs kind of night. Good pepperoni melt. Sounds good right now. We're supposed to get storms later today, too, aren't we? Isn't it supposed to rain? Get some storms later on. Get those storms working a little bit. Kick back, watch a little TV, watch some Brewers baseball later on tonight. Listen to it thunder for a while. Maybe get some early sleep this evening. Get you ready for the rest of the week. Hell yeah. Wouldn't mind doing that. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648 on the loans by kip.com. Toll-free talk line if you want to chime in. Go ahead and do it. We were talking the landmark ruling today by the Supreme Court that basically opened it up for the states to have legalized sports betting now, in whatever fashion, I guess it is, they decide they want to do it. We were talking about that. Also, I want to get back into the Brewers topic, too, coming up here in just a moment. But I want to talk some Brewers baseball. Brewers back at it tonight, taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ryan Braun struggling mightily. And we want to touch base on that as well. Dave is listening to us in Appleton. Dave, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Just wanted to get my 2 cents worth in on the gambling situation. To me, it's going to be very similar to what has happened with fantasy sports, fantasy football primarily. I've seen so many people become interested in the game because of they don't need to know anything really about the game. I mean, they could just go on their phones and play fantasy football. And, it's the leagues have grown tremendously, as you know. But what concerns me is that now that people can gamble on their games, be right at the stadium or whatever, I think it's going to probably increase viewership tremendously because people that really don't care about the game are now going to gamble and watch the games. And it'll be great for the sport as far as growing in popularity, but I have a big concern that it's going to probably increase gambling addictions by 20-30%. Let's get your thoughts on that.
Well, appreciate the phone call. I talked about that a little bit earlier. I think anybody that has a gambling, Jones, so to speak, I think they're going to figure out a way to gamble anyway. You know what I mean? I really do. I think that they're going to be figuring out ways to get that done. So I'm not, it's, if they have not started gambling as of yet, you may see a tick of an increase. I don't think it's going to go up 30%. But you may see a tick of an increase because of the availability, the capability. But people that have been gambling addicts most likely have been gambling addicts to this point anyway. They're figuring out a way to do it illegally rather than legally. But, it, you know, it, it's... We as a society look at things and kind of weigh it. What is the benefit? What is the loss? Okay, there is collateral damage to everything we do, and you're not going to live in a perfect world. And I don't want to sit and make excuses, but I'm not one of those addicts. I don't know what it's like to be an addict. I couldn't tell you in that particular regard. I just know that, you know, the day you're born, you're not an addict. Nobody's an addict when you're born. You're born into this world, and whatever you do with it after the fact, you know, it's you know, I told my kids, look, when the talk of drug abuse comes up, nobody's an abuser before they've ever taken a drug. You're more of a curious bystander that was stupid enough to do it to begin with, okay? Gambling is a little bit different because it's a different chemical high. It's a dopamine. It's a release of endorphins. It's things to the brain that give you the excitement of the action, so to speak. But those people are going to figure out a way to do it anyway, unfortunately. And I don't want to make excuses, but I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't know what the statistics are, but I do know this, on the positive side, that if you're going to start to see an increase of the ability to generate revenue within a state, and most states desperately need it, as long as... My argument has always been this, and I said this back during the whole... Bucks Arena debate. And that is simply this. If people, as a whole, gave as much a damn about all the money being spent and the way it's spent, rather than just gambling, the hot button issues, the gambling, an arena for the rich, and things like that, if you gave a damn about the way they were spending money on, say, garbage cans in downtown whatever, put insert name here, or the way they spent money via teachers or parks departments, or spent money on trips for politicians or on certain PACs with certain groups. And if you had all the, you know, the special interest group, if you gave that much of a damn and studied it and understood where our money was going at times, to quote, clean up government, the world would be a lot better place. We wouldn't have to worry about these other issues that just become hot button issues. That's always been my argument. Now, we don't sit here on a daily basis and watch C-SPAN to see exactly where our money's going, but there is so much... If you ever want a real sense of government, just go to a hearing once and see the enormous amount of crap being spewed by people that so-called have your best interest in their mind. There are some that are out there that are doing some really, really good things, and they take on causes to get elected. But just sit in one of those sessions, and your jaw will hit the floor. You know, hey, today we're going to take up certain wheelchair ramps at federal accessible buildings. Great idea, right? Well, on the back of it, somebody will put a bill that goes alongside it that says, well, if we sign this, then what we're going to do is also, in addition to that, spend $10 million on studying fire ants. And you're going to go, what? But that's the way it is. That's the way it is. It's crazy. Just go. I encourage you. So getting far, far off track here, I think today's ruling is going to mean that a lot of states are going to have some additional money that they can put towards additional service. And you just hope, as a society, we hold the politicians' feet to the fire and say, spend it in the right way. That's all. 855-830-8648. When we come back, Phil Parker, if you didn't get a chance to hear him, he's the Hawkeyes defensive coordinator and also their secondaries coach. Josh Jackson is coming into the Green Bay Packers. You're going to be maybe, might raise an eyebrow into what he has to say. We talked to him earlier today. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. Hey, if you're looking for something to do and you are excited that the cigar dinners are back again this year, you will be really excited to know that we have made the announcement where the first one of the season is going to be. It is going to be in Madison, our first one this year. That's right, in Madison. It is going to be at the Wisconsin Brewing Company, 1079 American Way in Verona. So just outside of Madison, but you get it. If you want tickets, By the way, the Cigar Dinner put on by Tobacco Outlet Plus and our friends at Perdomo Cigars, this first one. So if you want tickets, Tobacco Outlet Plus on Sherman Avenue in Madison, also on Willow Road in Wanakee, or you can go to the Quick Trip on County Road PB, actually in Verona. Any one of those has tickets to the event, and your ticket will include a couple of cocktails, the full dinner, and four cigars you get when you walk through the door, which is kind of nice. In addition to that, don't forget the dinner being catered by Wood Barbecue. That's good within itself. You get the cocktail hour, you get to the Wood Barbecue dinner, then you get to the raffle that takes place after dinner, and the raffle items, they give so much stuff away. And then we're going to have, you know, kind of our Q&A and storytelling and a lot of fun. And it's a great time. If you've never done it, I encourage you to try it. It's grab a couple of friends and come on out and join us. Tickets are on. There's only 50 tickets available, by the way. And these things usually go pretty quick. But go ahead and get your tickets. Come on out. Enjoy yourself. But any one of those three locations have the tickets. It is Thursday night. It's June 7th. The Wisconsin Brewing Company, 1079 American Way in Verona. If you want more information, go to Quick Trip, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com. That's quicktrip.com to find that location out there. And come on out and join us. We're going to have a lot of fun. And there's other ones that are going to be announced rather soon, as a matter of fact. There's going to be Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, Cedar Rapids, Green Bay, Milwaukee. There's going to be some really cool events coming up. So looking forward to it. We're going to be doing some of these places. I'm excited about it. I really am. So stay tuned for more of these events on the docket. Earlier today, we had a chance to chat with Phil Parker. Now, he's the Iowa Hawkeyes defensive coordinator and secondaries coach. Josh Jackson was drafted by the Green Bay Packers. Phil knows him intimately as he was the top defender when it came to interceptions and passes defended this past year for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So we started out kind of just chatting about his guy and what he's going to bring to the table.
Well, I think Josh is a guy that's really turned it on, obviously, last year, and I think he's got a lot more upside to grow and learn as a football player. But I thought he really took the step, you know, last year, beginning of January, all the way through the season, and did a great job for us of, you know, understanding what he has to do. But I think he can improve in a whole bunch of different areas, so I still think, you know, he hasn't reached his full potential.
Not to say that you guys study a lot of Green Bay Packer football, specifically the defensive backside of things, but how close is it to what you run to say what's run in the NFL when it comes to the ability for a guy like Josh to cover and understand offenses?
Well, I think, you know, we had Micah Hyde up there a couple of years ago, which it seemed like he fit in pretty decently when he goes over there, when he was playing there. I think, you know, man is man, zone is zone. He's definitely, there's going to be some different rule changes, you know, that you can't do there than you could do in high school, in college. But I think football is football. And I think when he has a knack for the ball, he has great hands. And the goodest, you know, the thing that I really like about him is hungry, he's humble, and, you know, he's going to keep on trying to grow and learn as much as he can.
Talking with Phil Parker, Iowa Hawkeyes defensive coordinator and secondaries coach, about Josh Jackson coming into the Packers organization. There's some guys that may not have 4.3 speed. They may not have this giant physical presence, but they have what I have called in at times like a football sense. Is this that kind of guy?
I think he's still working on that. Like Desmond King, Micah Hyde, I thought, you know, had that a little bit more than he has. I think he has room to, you know, keep on developing it. At times, you know, if you look at him, I mean, he really had some good instincts, you know, with the 8 picks that he had here, and really put himself in good positions, and he could see things happening and develop. I don't know if he's on that level yet, but I think he can get to that level.
What if he had something specific to work on? I mean, is he a – because some scouts will say he's a natural guy, and by that they mean he's just a guy that gets it, understands it, so he plays more with instinct than he has to with his head and thinking about it. Is he a natural guy in that sense?
I think, you know, one thing about when we had him, and he really was a one-year starter, I think, you know, for him learning and understanding a system is going to be the biggest thing for him to understand where he knows it. He fits, but I think, you know, naturally he does have some natural abilities and instincts, and, you know, he was really good. He's playing man coverage. He does a really good job of anticipating the routes and understanding them. But I think that all came from preparation and watching film and things where you need to pick up some things of what guys do to make you that kind of player. And, you know, you can see pitchers and formation, alignments, and splits. And I think he's growing in that aspect where he can anticipate that faster.
The one thing I like about some of the corners the Packers have drafted, not only are they bigger, but the sense that these guys, they're not afraid to hit. Talk about his ability that, you know, even if a guy does make a catch in front of him, talk about the ability for as far as elusivity goes and, you know, backs that have gotten either away from him or his ability to be able to bring down a ball carrier.
Well, one thing about Josh is, in Big Ten, there's a couple teams going to make you, you know, set edges and make corners tackle, and I thought he did a fairly good job. Could he get better? Yes, and I think he's improving that. I think he is a tough kid. I'd rate him to, you know, he's not going to complain about it. If he's got a little bit of injury or pain, he's going to play through it, and I think he's a tough-minded kid.
Hey, before I let you go, I got to ask you, how are you guys going to look this year?
Well, I think, you know, we got a good chance if we can replace our linebackers. Obviously, Josh on the outside, fill net shoes is going to be hard for us, and the same thing that Dugan Desmond left a couple of years ago. So, and Greg Maven. But I think we're not ready for the season yet, but we still got time, and I think you know, we'll go out there and fight and give it a good shot.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the lowdown on Josh Jackson, the newest defensive back for the Green Bay Packers. We certainly appreciate it. Best of luck to you, okay?
Thank you, and thank you for letting us talk about Josh.
There you go. That is Phil Parker, Iowa Hawkeyes defensive coordinator and secondary coach, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE. Or go to schneiderjobs.com. Hey, I want to remind you that we are not far away, less than 3 weeks, actually 2 weeks and a couple of days. It is going to be Wednesday Night Live back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. I cannot wait. You're going to have Rebel Grace taking the stage and the Budweiser Pavilion stage. And finally, Wednesday Night Live is back. Come on out and enjoy music. By the way, to get in, free. You park a car for $6, but everything else is free. Walk in, no problem, no cover charge or anything like that. Just come on in and enjoy yourself. Now, when I say everything, not everything, the beer, the beverages, the food, you got to pay for that. But you can bring a chair, you can hang out in the grassy area out front, or maybe you can just sit in that giant beer hall that is the Budweiser Pavilion. But nevertheless, it's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Wednesday Night Live is back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park, and I, for one, could not be happier. I cannot wait. Taking the motorcycle out, doing some cruising around, enjoying some music, and enjoying some cigars and hanging out. And, boy, it's going to be great to get back to summer in Wisconsin. We know we all love it, and I can't wait for it to get underway. When we come back, there is not a parent that has either had a child go through high school in the sense of participating in sports or cheer or something like that. And I read this, and now, look, as you know, I'm going to be getting married. And my stepdaughter-to-be, Alexa, does cheer and palms and dance and all this stuff competitively. And I read this story, and I just thought to myself, really? Really? I'll tell you what it is when I come back and see if you agree or disagree. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show on the air. One segment left. About time to get out of here. This is something to ponder as you go throughout the rest of your day. Okay. Now, I had mentioned going into the break. Look, you know, once I get married, I've got two new kids. One of which is Alexa's involved in palms and dance and, you know, and tap and jazz and all that kind of stuff. And you talk about working and practicing and going through the whole process of trying to make a team for tryouts and such. This blew me away. A New Jersey high school is getting a lot of heat from students and parents. And in my opinion, rightfully so. It's a new policy. everybody makes the cheer squad, the dance squad, you know, whatever, or they're going to disband it. Hanover Park High School in East Hanover enacted a change. One parent complained that his or her child, they have not said which, didn't make the team after tryouts last month. So one, their kid obviously didn't do the work or wasn't nearly as good as the other kid, so their kid didn't make the team. So they said, that's it. If they all don't make it, they're going to disband it. Now, a student, Stephanie Krieger, recently told the Board of Education members that she strongly disagrees with the policy. She said, look, I worked my hardest. Everything I did was to make the team. And because one child didn't make the team and their parent complained, so now all my hard work gets thrown out the window when I could have just walked on? Some parents say that when they complained about the new policy, the principal then threatened to disband the 10-member squad. Well, here's my question. If you're going to keep it at a 10-member squad, then there are going to be people that aren't going to make it. What if everybody in the school decided to go out for the cheer team? Again, a participation trophy. Make it easy for those that don't want to either work or can't achieve something on their own. Just make it easy, like the lowest hanging fruit. So the school board now reviewing the policy. It's unclear when the final decision is going to be made, but you get the point. What the hell are we doing? You know, you see what some of these kids go through to work and to get better, and you can see how as they go along and you're creeping towards high school, how there's some good, there's some really, really good, and then there's some kids that are, you know, maybe that one, they don't work as hard, or they just don't have it. So every year you take the cream. As the cream rises to the top, you continue to get better and better and better. Can you imagine if they said, say, Juilliard had to take every violinist, and you had some people that could play nothing more than squiggly bluegrass as opposed to some of the symphonic melodies that come out of these things. It's not to say that bluegrass is terrible, but you get the point. It's just mind-boggling how in today's day and age we give a damn more about the one person complaining rather than the majority. You know, it used to be you'd sacrifice the better for the mass rather than sacrifice the mass for the one. It gets more and more mind-boggling every year. But that's the way it is in New Jersey. Maybe sports gambling is going to change all of that. Who knows? Who knows? We'll wait and see. This is from Mary, who says, I completely understand where you're coming from. My daughter worked her tail off through high school and eventually got a cheer scholarship to college. What would have happened had they allowed just anybody to make the team? Would coaches even be looking at the team to see if their child or children are good enough to even make a cheerleading squad and later on in life? Hey, look, it goes back to the entitlement thing. Let's be honest, and I'm not going to sit here and sound like some old dude in this, okay? But how many times have you run into somebody that is either elementary, high school, or young college age that just feels like it's owed to them? Like life just owes me something just because I woke up today. It just doesn't work that way, which is the reason we probably have more litigation in today's day and age than we've ever had in any other era. It's because everybody just wants something for nothing. Nobody's willing to work for it anymore. And parents certainly is, they're not going to push their kid to work for it. They would rather just allow, you know, what is it? Facebook, Twitter, iPads, Fortnite. That's the big thing right now. So, anyway, to babysit their kids rather than doing something. Anyway, I just wanted to bring it up because New Jersey is actually considering this, which I find a very slippery slope, just my opinion. But it's kind of the world of sports, isn't it? You know, when you talk about competitive cheer and dance and all that kind of stuff. This was from Brian, who said, grew up in a co-ed high school, was on the cheer team. We worked as hard, if not harder sometimes, and even the football players ended up going to nationals, ended up coming third in nationals. And he's got a hashtag in Orlando, which isn't that the wild world of sports where they do that for national high school and college pom and cheer competitions? I think that's down there in the wide world of sports venue that they have in Orlando. I think that's the one where the Atlanta Braves have their spring training facility. But said we would never have been able to get our recognition had it been just to allow had it not been to, had it been to allow just anyone on the team. You don't get better by lowering yourself and lowering your standards. You get better by raising yourself and raising your standards. I completely agree. Wisconsin Life says, talking about everybody getting onto a team, these kinds of things will cause more inclusion, more leagues, and kids that normally would not have made the team would be whittled out into a C&D league club. Life is not fair even when you put in the work. Which is true. Which is true. Completely agree. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about your level of confidence in the Packers wide receiving core, the tight end core. How much better or worse do you think that the passes from Aaron Rodgers will be when you're talking about the ability to catch them? Who may be that standout player? Also, Adam McAlvey is going to join us tomorrow. We're going to talk with him at 11. Henry Ellenson is going to join us tomorrow at noon. Going to talk to them. Going to talk some as the NBA finals, or at least the semis, wind down. You're getting yourself to the NBA. I want to get into this, too, because this could be the worst thing, and every year we talk about it, and every year it just doesn't become true, and I want to know why. We'll talk about the NBA in a certain realm tomorrow as well. Until then, time for us to get out of here. Have a good one. Sleep.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.